Today's daf is Erevin daf Vav. We left off in daf Hamid Beis. We're at the two dots in daf Hamid Beis. Today's daf is essentially made up of three topics. First, we're going to discuss how large a hole or breach in the walls of a mavoi would make it also to carry in the mavoi, even if the mavoi has a lechi or a kara at the entrance to the mavoi. And in that context, we're going to discuss the status of an L-shaped mavoi and whether that's considered to be a mavoi sasum or a mavoi mefulish. Is that considered to be open on both sides or only open on one side? And the Gemara then is going to discuss how to make physical adjustments to a mavoi that opens to a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim at both ends, in order to allow carrying in it, if it's completely mefulash at both ends, it's wide open to Rosh Hashanah. So what does it need? Is it just a lechi or a korah on either end, or do you need something more perhaps? And then putting both of those previous issues together, the Gemara discusses an unusual chumrah that they had in the town of Narda on an L-shaped mavoi, and discusses whether it's ever appropriate to go like the chumras of two different opinions. And then we get into, going into tomorrow's daf already, the idea of paskening like Beis Shammai versus Beis Hillel, or the Chumras of Beis Shammai, the Chumras of Beis Hillel, Baskol, and why it is that we Paskin like Beis Hillel versus Beis Shammai. So we get into all of those fascinating inyanim. But before we begin on today's topics, I just want to go over one last point from the end of yesterday's daf. At the end of yesterday's daf, we pointed out that the Shita of Ravashi is that if you have a Mavui whose opening is exactly 8 Amos, and you have a Lechi that closes off 4 Amos of those 8 Amos, so the Gemara had said that the Mavui is kosher with such a Lechi. You don't need Lechi Acher Lahatiro. You don't need to add another Lechi. Even though a Lechi of more than 4 Amos no longer works as a Lechi, a Lechi of 4 Amos or more doesn't work as a Lechi, because it looks more like a wall than it does like a Lechi. So the Gemara had said, well, what are the chances that it's exactly 4 Amos? If it's probably either a little bit more or a little bit less than 4 Amos. So if it's a little bit more than 4 Amos, it doesn't have to work as a Lechi. It's a wall, and a wall on the fourth side is definitely good enough. It's a Omin Murubal Leparutz. If it's less than 4 Amos, even very slightly, good. So then it's a Lechi, so it works as a Lechi. The only problem would be is if it were exactly 4 Amos. So if it were exactly 4 Amos, Enochinami, that would be a problem. But this is a Suffolk Drabanan anyway. So Suffolk Drabanan, we could be Mekel on this Suffolk. So Tosos pointed out that whenever we paskin the halacha that efshal litzamtzem, that you can never measure precisely exactly how something is, that's generally what we assume. Now, efshal litzamtzem, we can never have an exact measurement. When the Gemara says parts ka'omed, that it's permitted over here, that's because there are shneit stadim leheter and one sad le'isser. It's like a svek sveka, meaning that that there's more possibilities that what you have over here is mutter than there is that what you have over here is aser. Because if it's omed meruba and if they're the same, so then it's mutter. It's only if it's parts meruba that it's aser. So Tosfos asks, wait a second, what about over here? We're only saying that it's mutter mishum safik drabban. But don't you have shneit stadim laheter over here? If it's more than dalet amos, it's mutter. If it's less than dalet amos, it's also mutter. The only tzad iser is if it's exactly dalet amos. Why do we have to rely on the fact that it's a drabanan? If it works like a midin svek svekan, Tosfos wants to tell us that whenever there's shneit stadim laheter, we're going to be mekel. So why over here do we need to say it's drabanan? Even if we're daraisa, the fact that it's shneit stadim laheter, we'd be mekel. So in the Chidushe Gor Aryeh on our sugya, he explains as follows. He says that once you say Ef Shalitzamtzem L'chora, wherever the Torah requires us a shir mesuyam, wherever the Torah requires us to have a certain shir, let's say a kazayis, there should be a chiv to take more than that shir. There should always be a chiv to take more than kazayis, because Ef Shalitzamtzem, I don't know that I'm getting exactly a kazayis, and therefore I might be getting a little less than a kazayis. You can't be mitzamtzem the shir. So why is it that we're allowed to take a kazayis of matzah, let's say, and we're allowed to assume that when we take a kazayis, it's actually a kazayis? So he says it must be that when we say Ef Shalitzamtzem, it doesn't mean that you're never going to hit it head on. You're never going to get exactly the right shear. No, what it means is that you can never be guaranteed that it's always going to be the right shear. You can't rely and know for sure that just because you think it's the right shear, that it's necessarily the right shear. But since Ef Shalitzamtzem, so we can assume Kazum that you have, Yosir Mikashir, or exactly the Shear. So if you eat a Kazayis Matzah, so Yotzi Yuchiv, because it's Efshar that you got the right Shear. And even if you didn't get the right Shear, there's another Tzad that maybe you have a little more than the right Shear, and then therefore it's good. So when it comes to Paritz Ka'omed, we assume that it's Mitzumtzum and Kasher. And even if it's not Mitzumtzum, maybe you have Omed Merubal Paritz and it's Kasher as well. That's by the issue of Paritz Ka'omed. When you have an issue of something that's 50-50, you want to know if you have Omed Merubal Paritz or Paritz Merubal Omed. So if it's 50-50, so then it's good. And even if it's not 50-50, maybe you have a little bit more Omed than Paritz, and therefore it's good. But in our Sugya, where you make where the Lechi is four Amos, and the open area is four Amos, if it were exactly Mitzumtzum, it would be possible. The whole Heter of Shneit Stadim, the whole idea that Tos has, that Shneit Stadim LaHeter, the whole reason it works is that it starts with the given that if you got it exactly right on, then it's Mutter. But maybe I didn't get it right on. Okay, so then even if I didn't, there's another Tzad that it might be Mutter. But if when you get it right on, when you get it exactly like you think you got it, it's going to be Usser, well then it doesn't matter how many other Tzadim LaHeter you have, that should still be Usser, unless it's a Drabanan. Then we would say Safik Drabanan Lukula. That's why our Gemara has to rely on Safik Drabanan. So, because granted, there are two Tzadim LaHeter. If it's slightly more than Dalai Amos, it's Mutter. Slightly less than Dalai Amos, it's Mutter. But if it's exactly right, well, then it's going to be Aser. So that's why it's no good. That's how the Maharal explains. So based on that, they answer the Kasha of the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch Mitzvah Vav, Oskimel asks, based on Tosfos Narei Sugya, if a person eats matzah, you Yotze Yischiv of Achilas Matzah when you eat a Kazayis, because there's Shnei Tzadim LaHeter. I mean, it could be that he ate exactly a kazayis, and even if he was a little bit off, maybe he ate a little bit more than a kazayis. What if a person though eats a kazayis of matzah of iser midin aseido chalos asei? He's allowed to have a kazayis of iser of matzah it's aser because aseido chalos asei, right? Let the mitzvah asei be docha chalos asei, and he'll get the mitzvah of matzah. So it says the Minchas Chinuch. I don't understand how that's going to work. If he ate more than a kazayis, it turns out that he's doing it's no longer aseido chalos asei because his mitzvah is only kazayis. So it's going to be he's Ochel be'iser. If he ate pachos mikazayis, he wasn't mekayim the mitzvah at all. It's only if he eats a kazayis mitzumtzum that he's yotzei l'chiyuv and he didn't do the iser. But he efshar l'tzamtzem. But according to the Maharal, then according to this Gor Aryeh in the Maharal, it could be that that we could assume that he has a kazayis mitzumtzum like he wanted to. Meaning, as long as that the shnei tzadim begins with the fact that it's possible that you actually were mitzamtzem in the first place. So lemaisa, halach lemaisa, shari tshuvin, siman tafresh memches, siv katan chav dal, it says if a person has an esrog, that's a sheer mitzumtzum, exactly the right size, even if you're not going to assume like those poskim that say that you have to passel such an esrog because esrogim constantly get smaller. You ever open up your esrog box from last year and you accidentally left your esrog or purposely left your esrog there from the year before? It's tiny. And esrogim are constantly drying out and getting smaller. So some will say, well, you can't take an esrog that's exactly the right size because by the end of Yontif, it's not going to be the right size. It's going to be pachos mikashir. But even if according to those poskim that you don't passel based on that, still the whole whenever the shear is mitzumtzum, we should be machmir not to make a bracha on it because maybe we're getting it wrong. Maybe we think it's exactly the right size, but it's not exactly the right size. Sometimes it looks like it's the shear and it's actually a little less than the shear because the maisa al pirov ef shalatzamtim. We can't get it exactly right. So in the Imre Yosha, in the Tshuvas Imre Yosha, Chelk Beis from the Kuf Pei Gimel, he says based on this shari tshuva, you also shouldn't eat a kazayis mitzumtzum of matzah. And if you have a shear mitzumtzum, you have to be machmir, not to make a bracha of alachilas matzah on a shir mitzumtzum. So that's a very that sounds like it's a very big chumrah, but lemaisa, the amount of chumras most people add by in their kazayis in the first place, we very rarely eat a kazayis mitzumtzum. Usually we're very safe to have plenty more than a kazayis. As we pointed out the other day, and even if you're going to have a very strict sheet of a kazayis, according to the Minchas Chinuch, person should eat it b'kedei achilas pras of that kind of food, and therefore there's no rush to stuff the kazayis down your throat in any way that's somewhat dangerous. Now Rav Chaim Noah, in his Sefer Shiurei Torah in the Hagdama, he writes that all of the shiurim that we find b'mishkal, medida, are always mitzumtzum, they're always exactly that shiur, but it's always kedai to be machmir, not to be mitzamtzim. And he says that's called hiddur mitzvah. That if that's a chelik of hiddur mitzvah, to be extra machmir in a shir, to make sure that you have yoser mikashir, to make sure that you have more than the bare minimum shir. He says, just like by netilas yadayim, the shir of netilas yadayim, how much water do you need? A revius. Says Rav Chista in the Gemara Shabbos Samach Beis and Beis, that he would use melo chafnaf mayim, and he would pour generously an amount of water. Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tav Reish and Vav, Sifal of Paskins, if a person buys an esrog that is just barely the right size, it's a beitzum tzemes, and then he finds a larger esrog, so mitzvah lahosif ad shlish, just like for hider mitzvah, we add ad shlish, so mitzvah lahosif ad shlish mibuchutz, you should add one third of the money, which is what we possibly would be 50% of the money, because it's a shlish milavar, in order to buy the larger esrog. So you see, even in terms of being machmir and shirim, that's also called hider mitzvah. So Reb Chaim Noah just points out that one very practical application of this is a talis katan. He says, try to get a talis katan that's more than just the shir mitzumtzum, because you wash it sometimes, and if you wash it, it shrinks, and therefore it's very likely to go under the shir mitzumtzum. So particularly with things that shrink, matzah doesn't shrink, but particularly with things that shrink, like an esrog, like a talis, like the width of the ritzuos on the tefillin, where you tie the tefillin, where you fasten it, the width of the ritzua very often gets narrower over time. So with things like that, it's certainly kedai to be machmir more than the bare minimum shear of what's necessary. Okay, let's begin today's daf. So says the Gemara, two lines from the bottom on daf Hayamid Beis. Amar Rav Chanan bar Rava Amar Rav. Mavui shenifratz mitzido be'eser. If a mavui has a breach in the side wall of the mavui, so up until 10 amos, a breach in the wall is fine. Merosho bedalin. But if the breach is in the head wall of the mavui, the opening wall of the mavui, so then four tefachim is too large of a breach already. What does it mean? I thought the whole mavui is set up in such a way where it has three walls and the entire opening is open. What do you mean? What kind of wall are we talking about on the rosha mavui? So it says Rashi that we're talking about a very wide mavui. Shayu mavui rachav chaf ama v'sasmo eser amos. That you have a 20 ama wide mavui. So even the opening wall, even if it's surrounded by three walls on the side, you can't have 20 amos wide open. So they close off the side, the fourth side, with a 10 ama wall, leaving only 10 amos open. Ukanan harachav me'aser yemait. V'nifritza pirtza ba'osa stima. And there's a pirtza in that stima, in that 10 amma closing, in that 10 amma wall that closes off the fourth side of the mavui, there's an opening of four tfachim, so that also is, four tfachim is already too much. 10 amos on the side, four tfachim on the front wall. So, frekli gemara, maishna mitzido be'eser, davra piskahu, miroshanami name a piskahu. Why is it that up until 10 amos on a side wall, it's okay? It's because we assume that's considered like an entranceway. It's considered like a pesach to the mavui. It's not considered to be breached. It's just considered to be another doorway. Well, in the front wall also, why don't we assume it's a pesach? Why would we say that four tfachim, anything more than four tfachim, is already no good? Just say that it's like a pesach. Up until ten amos should be like a pesach. So Amar Rav Huna Breider of Shua Kigon Shenifrats Bekeren Zavis. Rav Huna Breider of Shua explains that you're right. Enochinami. If it were in the middle of the wall that's on the fourth side, enochinami, it could be more than four tefachim. Where do we say that the maximum is four tefachim? When it's Bekeren Zavis, when it's off on a corner that the opening is. It's in a corner. The Pesach Bekeren Zavis Lo Avdi Inchi, because people don't make a pesach in the Keren Zavis. So if the whole heter to have any sort of breach is that you view the breach as a doorway, well, no one makes a doorway in a Keren Zavis in a corner where the two walls come to a right angle. That would not be considered a doorway at all. Says Tosos, could it ever be considered a doorway? Is there any way to make it into a doorway? Says Tosos, yeah. Mihu imasa ke'ein pesach b'mezuzos u'mashkof haveshapir pesach k'darmalel v'pesach le'be keren zavis. It is possible to make a keren zavis a doorway. Simply put doorposts and the lintel over there. Put a tzuras ha-pesach. If you have a tzuras ha-pesach there, then it becomes a doorway. And then even in the keren zavis, you're allowed more than four tefachim. And he says the raya is from yesterday's daf, when we were trying to figure out how you have a very very tiny mavoi that could still have batim v'chatzeros p'suchul notochol, could still have the houses and chatzeros open into it. So we said, yeah, the Pesach is in the Keren Zavis. Pesach in the Keren Zavis? I thought you can't have a Pesach in the Keren Zavis. Elamai, you can, as long as you fashion it like a Pesach, as long as you make a tsuras ha-Pesach to make it like a Keren Zavis. I think the Rambam disagrees, if I recall correctly. I didn't have a chance to look it up, but I'm pretty sure the Rambam disagrees about this and thinks that even with a tsuras ha-Pesach, the Keren Zavis is not going to be considered a real Pesach. The Chazon Ish in Siman Ayin Beis, Sifkan Aleph, writes, the reason a Pesach, the Keren Zavis, asers, is because there's never omid merubah in the Keren Zavis. See, the way it works is that if you have a side wall that has a hole in it, so it has wall on both sides of the hole, so it's omid merubah. You have more wall on the sides of the hole than you have the actual hole itself, and you have the actual breach itself. But when it's Bekeren Zavis, you can't count the walls that are about to come to a right angle, that are perpendicular to each other, as Omen Merubah, for that Keren Zavis, because the Keren Zavis is viewed on the angle, right? We view the opening on the angle, and if you were to draw a straight line across that opening that's made by the Keren Zavis, you don't continue into wall, you continue into open space, into on both sides, into the rest of the world. So that's how the Chazon Ish explains why Keren Zavis is fundamentally problematic, forgetting about that it's not normal to make a Pesach Bekeren Zavis. It's just that it wouldn't even count as a Pesach physically, because it doesn't, it's not surrounded by walls that would make it Omed Meruba al Aparat. So that's how the Chazon Ish explains this day. Okay, says the Gemara further now. So the case is that it's Keren Zavis Lavdi and Shiv. Rav Huna Amar Echad Zev Barba. Rav Huna himself disagrees. That was all Rav Chanan Bar Rava Amar Rav, that said that on the side walls you have up until 10 amos, on the Rosh, which may mean only Keren Zavis, you have up until 4 tfachim. Rav Huna says, I disagree, whichever wall the breach is on, anything larger than 4 tfachim is unacceptable. You only have up until 4 tfachim to allow a breach in the wall of a mavoi. So again, Rav Huna amar echad zeh ve'echad zeh bar arba'a. Rav Huna told Rav Chanan Bar Rava, don't argue on me about this one, that you only have up until 4 tfachim, because I can prove that I'm right. To Rav, ikla lidam mecharya va'avid uvda kavasi. Because Rav even did like me, meaning I know what we quoted from Rav, that Rav Chanan Bar Rava said in the name of Rav that mitzido you have up until 10 amos, but I also know what Rav did in practice. And in practice, when he actually had to paskin a case, when he went to this place called Damcharia, he paskined like me, that anything more than 4 tefachim was no good. So whatever he said in the Beis Medrash, okay, that was talking and learning. But in halacha, he paskined like me. So Amalei, Rav Bika Matza v'gadar b'gadar. He said, no, Rav was just being extra machmir because he found that people were being a little too makil. So that's Bika Matza v'gadar b'gadar. That he tried to make an extra gadar because people were taking too many liberties with being lenient on issues relating to mavuos and erevin. So he was being extra machmir. The in Shelis Yavetz, Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes in a tshuva chel beisim and tezvav that which we find Rav Bika Matzav Gadarba, that's only when there were mezalzel in the din based on a ta'us, and it's a place where because they were mistaken, that's why they were mezalzel in the din. But all you need to do is make a gzeira or tell them what the halacha is, be machmir in them, and then they'll listen to all your chumras, and they're not going to make any mistakes anymore, and it will be helpful. But says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, if the reason people are not machmir or not makbir on something is not because they're making a mistake, it's just because they don't care that much, they're not b'nei Torah, so then it's probably not the best idea to introduce new chumras, because if you just introduce new chumras, they're not going to listen to those either. So then we would apply the concept of mutav shiushogin value mazidin, Shabbos daf kuf mem chesem beis, elsewhere in Shas, that better to leave them as being b'shogeg rather than have them violate the halacha b'mezid. Good, so we have this machlokas, Rav and Rav Huna, whether a side wall, a breach in a side wall, can be allowed to be up until 10 amos, or only 4 tfachim. So, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Havasid Rav Huna Mistavra, Rav Huna is more Mistavra, that it's 4 tfachim is the halacha, Di Itmar, Mavoi Akum, Rav Amar Tarasu Kimifulash, and the reason that it's more Mistavra is the following. We're now going to introduce a second issue, a second machlokas, which we'll see in a moment, that if you have a Mavoi Akum, let's say you have an L-shaped Mavoi, the Mavoi is not just one straight line, it has a bend in the middle. So Rav Amar Tarasu Kimifulash, Rav says it has a din of a Mavoi Mifulash. It's considered like a Mavoi that's open at both ends. Ushmul Amar Tarasu Kisasum. Shmuel says, no, it has a din of a Mavoi Sasum. Meaning, if you look at each line of the L independently, so each one is closed off at one end and open at the other end. It's closed off on two sides in one end and open at the other end. Each one also happens to have a breach toward the end of the side wall, but each one is considered to be closed off. So mayaskinan, how large of a hole is there? How wide is it that that when it hits the L, if you were to look at each mavoi independently, how big is the breach on the end of the side wall of each leg of the L? Ilem be yoser me eser, if it's more than 10 amos, Bahalem Shmuel Tarasu Kasasum, can Shmuel really say that has a din of a sasum, of a mavoi sasum? Because even if you look at each one independently, they're not kosher, because they each have a breach of more than 10 amos toward the end of the side wall. So it can't be that Shmuel would say that would have a din of a mavoi sasum, and that would be okay. Elalav be'eser, it must be that it's 10 amos or less. That's the case. And still, v'kama Rav, Tarasu Kamefulash. And still, Rav says we view that as if it's a mavi mufulash. Alma pirtzas mavi mitzido bedalit. You see that a pirtz in a mavoi more than 4 tefachim, even though it's less than 10 amos, is a significant pirtza, and that's why Rav looks at this mavoi as if it's mufulash. He looks at this mavoi as if it's open on both sides. Rav Chanan bar Rava shayni hasam to kabaki bar Rabin. Rav Chanan bar Rava says no, that case is different because there are people that are constantly going in. There are people that are constantly walking through it because it does open up to Rosh Hashanah at both sides. So that's why we're going to be a little more machmir over there. Mechlal Rav Huna Safar Afagav de Lobaki Bar Rabin. Maishlam Bid Rabbi Yami Rabbi Asi. Wait a second. Sounds like Rav Huna holds that even if the pirtza is not a pirtza that a lot of people walk through. Let's say it's parts to a very dirty place or to a dangerous place, and people don't go through that area. Still, he's going to say that it's usher if it's any more than 4 tefachim. Well, why is this any different than Rabbi Yami Rabbi Asi that we mentioned yesterday? Is that if you have a hole in the side wall of the mavoi, as long as there's a 4 tefach of wall prior to that hole, so it's going to be good enough. That's going to be mat to the pirta up until 10 amos. So why is this any different? Says the Gemara, hasam dika gedudei hacha deleka gedudei. Over there, you still have a little remnant of the wall left. That's a little bit off the ground, so therefore it makes it very difficult for people to walk through. Over here, it may be that many people aren't actually walking through, but physically the place is set up where it's very easy to walk through. So that's why this is different than Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yassi's case. In Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yassi's case, it was physically very challenging to be able to walk through that area in the first place. Okay, period. Tanur Rabbanan. Ketzer ma'arvin darach Rosh Hashanah. How does one make an Eruv on a Rosh Hashanah? How do we make an Eruv in a derach Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara is going to obviously ask the question, Rosh Hashanah, what are you talking about? You can't make an Eruv on a Rosh Hashanah. So, you know how you make an Eruv on a Rosh Hashanah? Build walls all around it on all four sides and turn it into a Rosh Hashanah. What does it mean, making an Eruv in Rosh Hashanah? But anyway, if you look at, but before we even get to that, the Rishonim right away start to talk about, well, what is a Rosh Hashanah? Because at this point in the Gemara is still assuming that we're talking about a real Rosh Hashanah. So what is a Rosh Hashanah? What are the qualifications that something needs in order to become a Rosh Hashanah? Says Rashi, three qualifications something needs in order to become a Rosh Hashanah. Rishis Rab Mashma Rachav Sheshes Reama the Irsham Tzuyin Bashishim Ribo the In Bachoma Shay Rishis Rab Shalom Mechuvin Mishal Shar Shem Foolish Domel Ledigle Midbar. Rashi saying three things. Number one, it has to be a place that's 16 amos wide. Number two, it has to be a place where there are Shishim Ribo, that there are 600,000 people there. And number three, it can't have any wall, or it has to be open from one end to the other, similar to the Digle Midbar. Now the sugya in Shabbos is also interestingly on Daf Vav in Masechta Shabbos. It also defines what a Rishus HaRabim is, and over there it says Ezevi Rishus HaRabim Sratya Uplatya Gedola Umuvol Samufulashin. So Rashi explained over there Sratya means a road that goes from one city to another. Platya is the Rechava Shel Ir, where everyone gets together in the town square, and Mavuos are the alleyways of the city that are 16 amos wide that open up to the Platyas on both ends. So when Rashi says it has to be 16 amos wide, the Gemara learns this from the Agolos in the Midbar, that they would carry the boards of the Mishkan on. The Gemara does a cheshbon over there to figure that those wagons would only fit down a road that was 16 amos wide. So it's all learned from the Diglei Midbar. Now the Gemara in Shabbos also has another din, in Shabbos of Tzadichah, that a Rosh Hashanah can't have a roof on it. That if it has a roof, if it's Makora, it's also not a din of a Rosh Hashanah. So, but bottom line is what Rashi added here that it doesn't say in the Gemara is that you need Shishim Ribo, is that 600,000 people need to be there in order for it to be a Rosh Hashanah. So there are different shittos in the Rishonim about how to understand that and if that's true in the first place. Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos, first of all, Tosfos over here, Tosfos says, Pirush HaKodesh, he quotes Rashi's definition of Rosh Hashanah. And then he says, "V'kashal l'Rabbeinu Tam, the Bishabes Perik Hazorik, Amar Da Agolos Havatachtein Beinein Rosh Hashanah, V'tachtein Lo Hayu Shishim Ribo." He says, "Underneath the Agolos, the Gemara in Shabbos says there was a Rosh Hashanah. There were no 600,000 people underneath the Agolos." V'omri to me, come welcome, darken all your lotzis v'lova b'osederach. He says, "No, they don't have to be under the Agolos. It's a road that everyone walks behind the Agolos, and as the Agolos were traveling, people would walk exactly over the area that the Agolos were just over. So it's a derech of Rosh Hashanah." But he says, "V'odikshe." Digle Midbar Hayu Taf and Nashim Lein Mispar. There weren't 600,000 people. There were 600,000 men between 20 and 60. What about all the children? What about all the women? There were 3 million Jews. So why would we say 600,000 is the magic number? V'chem Kashem Erev Rav. There was also Erev Rav. So why is 600,000 the magic number? V'yeshlom de logam rinam Mishkan el milsa de ksiva b'misparam. So that anything we're going to learn from the Mishkan, it has to be a number that the Torah gives us. And if the Torah gives us the number 600,000, then that number is significant. Even though in reality it was actually way more than 600,000. So that's how Tosfos says. Tosfos Masechta Shabbos and Davav writes that Midbar Rosh Hashanah, when the Jews were there, Dafka b'makom shu b'machne Yisrael, that to have Shishim Ribo is considered Rosh Hashanah. So you see from the fact that the Midbar is considered Rosh Hashanah, that whenever there is a community of 600,000, that makes it into a Rosh Hashanah. It's slightly different than 600,000 people passing through there. Makes it more sound like that there has to be a community of 600,000 people. The Rashash just points out that even if you can say like Tosos over here, that we whatever numbers the Torah gives us, those numbers are very critical to us. So the Rashash points out 600,000 shouldn't be the magic number then. 603,550 should be the magic number, because that's the real number. That's the number the Torah actually gives us for the census of the Jewish people of Klal Yisrael in the Pesukim, Parshas Pekudei, and Parshas Bamidbar. So it's very difficult to say that 600,000 is the actual magic number. The Rav Moshe points out in Igros Moshe or Chaim Childal Sin Pei Zayin that the Tosfos Kasha from the Erev Rav he thinks is not such a Kasha, because he says the Erev Rav didn't live with the rest of us. The Erev Rav were Michutz L'Machana, outside of the Machane Yisrael, and he says you see even the Ben HaMitzri that was a Ben Ishi Yisraelis didn't live in the Machane Yisrael. They wouldn't allow him to pitch his tent in Machane Dan. And he said based on the Sifra and Parshas Emor, so certainly the Erev Rav, they didn't allow them inside the Machane. So he says the Kasha from the Erev Rav is not a good Kasha. The Kasha from the women and the children, that's a stronger Kasha. So how do we paskin? Does it need to be 600,000 people in order to be Rosh Hashanah? Says Shulchan Aruch Sim Shin Mem Hesiv Zayin Yesh Omrim Shekol Shein Shishim Ribo Ovrim Vabuchol Yom. That if you don't have 600,000 people walking there every day, it's not a Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkot Chavdalit, says, whoa, 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 he just took a big step. The Rashi said 600,000. 600,000 people there. Tell us 600,000 people in the encampment. Over in Bechol Yom, a road needs 600,000 people to pass by every single day in order for it to be considered a Shus Rabim. Rav Moshe says, he has an interesting raya, he says it can't be that you need in each street that you need 600,000 people to walk by that street in order for it to be a Shus Rabim. And his raya is, we're going to have a Gemara later on, that the Malus Beis Maron is considered a Shus Rabim. What was the Malus Beis Maron? It was a street that narrowed to a point where only one person was able to go through at a time. Says Rav Moshe, do a cheshbon. In 24-hour period, how many people can walk through an area that only one that could only fit one person at a time? He did some sort of cheshbon. He said that if a person walks through every second, if every 1 second you have one person walking through, you have 84,000 people to walk through in a day. Not even close to the 600,000 people that you need. So there's no way that you need in each street that you need 600,000 people to walk through in order for it to be considered a Rishus Harabim. So that's a major step that the Shulchan Aruch says b'chol yom. So a lot of Rishonim mention Shishim Ribo over in Bechol Yom. Shulchan Aruch didn't take it from nowhere. The Bahag mentions this, the Ramban in Shabbos and Zion, the Ran on the Rif in Shabbos and Zion, and many, many other Rishonim do mention this requirement. Other Rishonim say Stam, that you need Shishim Ribo to be Mitsuyim Sham. Lashon of Rashi is Ir Shem Mitsuyim Bashishim Ribo. That you don't even need that people are walking through, 600,000 people walking through these streets. It just needs the population of the city to be 600,000. And that's it. Chuvus Agonim says like that as well. Okay, so that's the sheet of Rashi. Okay, but anyway, so back in our Gemara. So how are you ma'ariv derech Rishus Harabim? So says the Gemara, here's what you do. Osa tzuras ha-pesach mikan, v'lechi v'kara mikan. Make a tzuras ha-pesach on one side, and a lechi or a kara on the other side. Chananya omer, Beishamay omer, Chananya says, well, it's a machlokas tanaim. Beishamay say, osa delos mikan, v'delos mikan, ukshriyotzi v'nichnas noel. Make a door on either side, and make sure you close the door as soon as you enter through the door. So if it's usually closed, the doors are usually closed, that's good enough. So again, Tanakama holds a tzuras ha-pesach on one end, and the other end, either a lechi or a kora. Chananya's understanding of Beis Shammai is that you need actual doors, and you need to close them. And then Chananya's understanding of Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel amrim osa delas mikan, v'lechi v'kora mikan. You make a door on one side, and a lechi and a kora on the other side. So Beis Hillel is a little more machmir than the Tanakama, because the Tanakama said just a tzuras ha-pesach on one side, and a lechi kora on the other side. Beis Hillel is saying you need a door, an actual delis on one end, and a lechi or a kora on the other end. So frak the Gemara, but what are we talking about? Rosh Hashanah, mi ma'arva? Since when do you make an Erev in Rosh Hashanah? V'atani, Yisrael kein, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, mi shayilo shnei batim, mi shnei tzidei Rosh Hashanah. If you have two houses on two sides of Rosh Hashanah, which means that there are already two walls there. Also, lechi mikan, v'lechi mikan, v'kora mikan, v'kora mikan, v'nos v'nos v'mem. So you can make a lechi on either end, or a kora on either end, and you can carry in the middle. And Amar lo, l'cham setim, ein ma'arva in Rosh Hashanah. You can't make an Erev in Rosh Hashanah like that. So you see that we can't be talking about making an Erev in Rosh Hashanah. If you're going to say, yeah, but that no, you just can't make an Erev with Koro or Lachis in a Rosh Hashanah. But if you put doors, maybe that's okay. Maybe that will be good enough. V'amir Rabbi Bar Brachan, Amir Rabbi Yochanan, Yerushalayim, L'molid V'asasad, N'nolos B'layla, Chayavan Olam, Yishom Rosh Hashanah. Yerushalayim, had it not been that the doors of Yerushalayim were closed at night, you'd be chayav on it as a Rosh Hashanah. V'amir Ula, Hani Avuli D'machuzah, L'molid V'asasad, N'nolos, Chayavan Olam, Yishom Rosh Hashanah. That Yavuli D'machuzah, if not for the doors being closed at night, you'd be chayav on it, Yishom Rosh Hashanah. So it sounds like having doors isn't good enough either. You need the doors closed every single night. And yet over here we're saying that that's only Shitas Beis Shammai. Over here we're saying the way we would paskin is, it's good enough just to have a door in one end and have a lechi or a kara on the other end. No, you would need doors and you would need them to be closed if this were a real Rosh Hashanah that we were talking about. So obviously we're not talking about being ma'arev, a real Rosh Hashanah. What are we talking about? Amar Vida Ha'achi Kamar. Ketzer Ma'arvin Mavuos Hamufulashin L'Rosh Hashanah. Our shaila is, how do you make an Erev on a Mavoy that's open on both ends to a Rosh Hashanah? How do you sufficiently close it off from the Rosh Hashanah to be allowed to carry in the Mavoy? So also Tzuras HaPesach Mikan, V'lechi V'kara Mikan. So you make a Tzuras HaPesach on one side, V'lechi Kara on the other side. That is the Shita of the Tanakama. And then you have Chananya Alibad Beis Shammai, that you make doors on both sides. And Chananya Alibad Beis Hillel, that you make a Lechi V'kara on one side, and a door On the other side, Itmar. So how do we paskin? You have three shittos in Tanaim over here. We have the Tanakama, Chananya's understanding of Beishamai, and Chananya's understanding of Beisilo. So Rav Amr Hilksak Tanakama. Rav says we paskin like Tanakama, Tzuras HaPesach on one end, and Alech Yerkor on the other end. Ushmuel Amr Halach Chananya. Shmuel says we paskin like Chananya, which obviously means Chananya's understanding of the Beisilo, which is that an actual door on one end, and Alech Yerkor on the other end. So says Gemara Yibayilu, Chananya Libud Beisilal, Sarich Linal, Owen Sarich Linal. According to Chananya's understanding of Beis Shammai, he was very clear that Beis Shammai holds you need doors at both ends and you need to close them. You need to close them after you're done walking through them. They need to be closed sometimes. What about Chananya's understanding of Beis Hillel, where you need a door in one end, a lech yikar on the other end? The side that has a door, does it actually need to be closed? Or is it just good enough that it has a door there? So Tashema, so the Gemara tries to bring a raya. Dam Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Eino Tzarech Linal. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, you don't have to actually close the door. V'chein Amar Masna Amar Shmuel, Eino Tzarech Linal. Ikeda Amri Amar Rav Masna, others say that the way it went was like this. Rav Masna said, B'titi Ava Uvda, V'amar Li Shmuel, Ein Tzarech Linal. That I actually had the Shaila come up, and Shmuel told me, Ein Tzarech Linal, that it's not necessary to lock the door. So they asked Rav Anan the Shaila. No, do you need to lock the, do you need to close the door or not? Amlu tochazi hani avuli dinarda the timinat polgayu ba'afra va'ail v'nafik mar Shmuel v'lom ruvluhu v'lom midi. He says I could prove to you that from the gates of Narda, Shmuel never required them to close the gates of Narda. He went in and out of them all the time, even though there was dirt that was blocking them, so to not even allow them to close. So obviously Shmuel didn't think that you needed to actually close them. Amar Rav Kahana, Hanach Magufa Savai. Rav Kahana says, no, you can't prove anything that from Shmuel going through the gates of Narda and never requiring them to close it, because those doors were actually partially closed. So maybe that partial closure satisfied Shmuel. Maybe Shmuel held that they do need to be closed, and this is called closed. And that's why he didn't say anything. So you don't have a raya of what Shmuel holds. Kiyas Rav Nachman Amar, when Rav Nachman came, he demanded that they move the sand that was blocking the door. Oh, Lemak Sav Rav Nachman Tzarech Linal. That seems to be a good raya that Rav Nachman holds, that you do have to close the doors. Otherwise, why would he tell them to remove the sand that was blocking the doors? It must be he yelled that you have to close the doors. Says Gemara, no. He doesn't require that you actually close the doors. He only required that they be ru'uyos linal, that the doors be closable. Let it be possible to close the door. That sometimes we require this, similar to the concept we have in several places in Shas, kolaroy lebilein bilema kevespo, and bila is the context is in Menachos, that when you have a korban mincha, the belila is the mitzvah to mix the oil with the flour really well. But as long as it's roy lebila, the mincha is kosher. Even if as long as the proportion of oil to flour is enough, that if you wanted to mix the oil and the flour, it would get mixed really well. So that's good enough. It's not ma'akev to actually do the belila of the Karb Mincha. So we say that in a number of different contexts, that sometimes it's just that we need something to be ra'ui, we don't need to actually do it. The Gemara in Kiddushin has an application of Bias Mayim, Kolaroyla by Beis Hastarim in a mikveh, that if a woman goes to a mikveh, so why can't she have any chatzitza in the Beis Hastarim inside of her mouth, let's say? The water doesn't actually have to go in the mouth. So the Gemara uses the same concept. Kolaroyla Bias Mayim, Ein Bias Mayim Akevespo. That as long as, at least in the Beis Hastarim, obviously in the exposed parts of the body, we would never say this, but in the Beis Hastarim of the body, you just need Royla Bias Mayim. It needs to be that if she were to open her mouth, water would be able to get in without any chatzitzas. But you don't need actual bias mayim. So a very similar concept over here. That you need ru'uyas linal, you don't need nin olos mamish. It's a roi l'bias mayim type of issue. The Meiri explains, because when it's ru'uyas linal, harabim svurim shehenin olos, and therefore they're not going to be walking through there all the time. It's a practical benefit. That if it's ru'uyas linal, people are always going to be worried. Maybe I'm going to try to get in and the door's going to be closed, and then it's going to cut down on traffic a little bit. That's how he understands. The Avni Nezer, though, understands, it quotes B'Shem the Ravon, that no, that this is, it's considered that they're ne'ulos, that when it's ru'uyos linol, that counts as if they are ne'ulos, that's good enough. Not in terms of the practical benefit, just in terms of the halacha views it that way. Okay, says the Gemara further. So now we put our two previous discussions together. We discussed an El shape the mavoi. Right? We have two machlokes in between Rav and Shmuel and today's daf. One about the definition of a mavoi mefulash, and one about the halacha of a mavoi mefulash. When dealing with an L-shaped mavoi, Rav holds that it's considered a mavoi mefulash. Shmuel said, no, it's a mavoi sasim. When dealing with an actual mavoi mefulash, Rav holds that you don't have to put any doors, and Shmuel holds that you do need, one end does need a door. So those are the two machlokes, and now let's put it both together. There was a mavoi akum, a bent mavoi in Nahar Da'a, an L-shaped mavoi. Rami alei chumrei d'Rav v'chumrei d'Shmuel v'atzruchu adalasos. So they were machmir like Rav and they were machmir like Shmuel, and they required doors. Chumrei d'Rav d'amar torasukum foolish. They were machmir like Rav to consider it a mavim foolish. Shmuel would have said right off the bat it's not a mavim foolish, and therefore it doesn't need the tikkunim of a mavim foolish. But they were machmir like Rav to consider it a mavim foolish. I've amar Rav halach tanakama. But Rav says, yeah, but you don't need doors on a mavim foolish according to Rav. So consider it all you want, but you don't need doors on it. So kishmuel d'amar halach chananya. No, on that end we were machmir like Shmuel, who holds like Chananya that you do need a door on one end of a mavi mefulish. I but Rav Shmuel tarasu kasasim, but Shmuel never would have considered this mavi mefulish because it was L shaped and he didn't consider an L shaped mavi mefulish. So Krav damar tarasu mefulish. Yeah, but in defining the mavi, we pass on like Rav that it's considered to be mefulish. Says Gemara, can you do that just to be extra machmir on both sides? Umi avdim ketrei chumri. Do we follow two chumras? Vatani lo nalach beisul varot alas kedivri beishamay also kedivri beisul losa. Really, that looks like Beisilil. You want to follow Beishamai, Gazante. You want to follow Beisilil, Gazante. Mikul Beishamai, Mikul Beisilil, Rotsam, Russia. If you want to follow the Kulas above them, then you're just a Russia. Mechum Beisilil, Mechum Beishamai, Mechum Beisilil, Lavakas Vomer, Haksil Bechoshe Cholech. Eli Ike Beishamai, Kukulain Kukumrain, Ike Beisilil, Kukulain Kukumrain. You want to follow the Chumras of both Beishamai and Beisilil? Well, then you're just a fool. If you want to do like them, so do like the Kulas and the Chumras of Beishamai or the Kulas and the Chumras of Beisilil. You can't just stand pick Chumras on both ends. So that's the kasha that we're going to leave off with today. This leads into our whole discussion of when we could do like two chumras. Tosfos raises a very fundamental question. What do these two chumras have to do with each other? Why can't you pass like Rav in one halacha, Shmuel another halacha? If you think Rav is right in one halacha, Shmuel is right in another halacha. Why is this a stira necessarily in terms of the halacha? It's a very important Tosfos. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll pick up with that tomorrow. We'll get into Baskol, other labor dikyanim.